So I laid my hands on them two knees and prayed a real long prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, according to John 14:13, give this man two new legs. I said, thank you, Lord. I said, you believe it? He said, I do. I said, then take that steel off and stand up and walk. He started unstrapping it. Threw it off on the floor. I reached down. I got him by the hand. I said, get up. He bent his knees. And when he bent his knees, I said, get up. And I picked him up and he started standing. He said, it hurts. I said, it's going to hurt. Don't bleed. You can't go by what you feel. I said, you got to go by the word. And I got him by his hand and I got him standing up now. And I said, come on, take a step. I jerked him. I thought about Peter there at the gate, beautiful, when the old man was sitting down there. You know, he walked all them years. And Peter said, I don't have no money. I don't have no silver. I ain't got no gold. What I got better than silver or gold? In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. Amen. And that man looked down, and Peter looked down. And he said, did you hear what I say? He reached down there, got him by the hand, and jerked him up. He said, now get up. And when he jerked him up, that man's strength come back. He did this by faith.
Yes, he did.
And when that man's legs got strong, that man goes running up and down the steps and everything else. And everybody's amazed that this man can walk. I jerked him. He took a step. I said, come on. And after three steps, I turned him loose. I said, you can walk. And he walked around the podium three times and then broke and run all the way to the back door of the church and back down the front screaming, God is awesome. Amen. Is God awesome?
Yes.
Now, his personal testimony, we got a package back there that says Testimonies of Miraculous Healing. The DVD, that there's two DVDs in that. Johnny's is on DVD number one, program number one. It's awesome. You get to hear Johnny Brumfield tell his own testimony about how God healed him, and he's still running and playing today. Now then, right there, I remember praying for Norma, and I remember praying for Johnny. But then I don't remember what happened after that. You know, you heard the Lord says we are supposed to die daily. Can you imagine what God might be able to do through you if you could totally lay the flesh down where the unbelief wasn't there? Right there, he killed me that night. I don't even know. But right there, that's the last thing I remember at that meeting. In fact, I didn't know until I was in the airplane bringing these people out to GLC to make their testimonies years later. And when we stopped, we had a little bad weather that day, and we had to stop off down here south of Dallas at a little airport. And while we was in there, Norma Garcia was in there, and she said, you know, Thurman, what about the young man, you know, that you prayed for after you prayed for Johnny? I said, what young man? She said, what do you mean? You don't remember it? I said, I remember praying for Johnny, and I remember him walking around there three times and breaking, running out the front door and back, screaming with his hands up. She said, you went from there right across to a little man that a woman said, a little bitty petite woman had brought her husband in a wheelchair, totally laid out, totally paralyzed. You went running over there and just screamed and jumped up on him and throwed your hands on him and said, get up and walk in the name of Jesus. And she said, that man jumped out of that wheelchair and run out the back door. And I don't even remember that. Now, if you totally kill yourself and let Jesus live through you, what can the King do through you? Oh, there ain't no limitations, is there?
No, there isn't.
There ain't no limitations with God. We have to just get to the point where, I believe, Lord, I believe. Lord, kill this thing. You know, I mean, let me die to the flesh so the Spirit can totally take control. So by force, I can take it by force. The violent can take it by force. Right, brother?
Amen.
Amen. All these things happen. Now then, you can ask anything in my name and I will do it. Now then, why do we not use these awesome promises? I mean, I've just showed you a couple. Matthew 18:19 and John 14:13-14. What can you get done with those two scriptures? What can you get done? If you believe, right? Here's what happens to us. We pray. This man here prays for his wife. And he believes, and you know, as soon as he gets through praying, the old devil says, what if you don't do it this time? You're going to look like a fool. You know, don't you tell nobody in church you prayed for her. Because if you do and it don't happen, they're going to say, yeah, this idiot. He has the audacity to think he could pray and get God to do something for his wife.
Right.
See? You know what you have to do? You have to tell him where to go. You know that? Because every time you pray, that spirit of unbelief will come upon you. Every time. That spirit of unbelief will come. You have no idea in my walk with God how many times that devil has told me something like that. I start to pray for somebody. You have no idea the demons of hell that was around me that night when I knelt before Johnny Brumfield praying that simple prayer. And then I said, Johnny, you believe that? He said, if it's written in that book, I'll believe it. I said, then take that seal off and stand up and walk. And you have no idea. The pressure was on me. You fool. You idiot. You're going to look like a fool. That man ain't going to walk. He's got two crushed knees. The doctor, did you hear what he said? The doctor said he ain't never going to walk again. He ain't walked a step in 21 months. And you have the audacity to think that you're going to pray for him and God's going to show up for you? That's what you're going to go through all your life, trying to walk out these things. And that's why there's almost nobody walks in faith. Because it is not easy. It's tough. But you can do it. You can do it. Now then, let's go back to Matthew 18, 21 through 35. I want to show you this unforgiveness story. This is another reason so many people in the church, these awesome promises won't work. Because we have unforgiveness. I mean, you know, well, I don't have any unforgiveness toward anybody. Really? No, no. How about Susie? Well, I used to have a problem with her, but I forgive her. Susie walks in the door, and you, oh, well, I guess I better go. I thought you had forgiven her. Well, I have, but I don't like to be around her. No, you didn't forgive her. You didn't forgive her at all. If you had of, you'd have walked back there and put your arm around her and say, hey, Susie, how you doing, girl? Yeah, things going okay? You see, that's a true forgiveness. If when you forgive, then you're right with that person. If you can't go back there and shake their hand and say, hi, how are you doing? If you don't feel comfortable with them, then you haven't forgiven. And now let's look at this and see here. Matthew 18:21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Seven times? What? Seven times? You know what we do? Okay. You messed up. Okay, because you asked me, I'm going to forgive you this time. But don't you dare do it again. Is that the way we are, brother? Sure. I mean, sometimes husband and wife, that's the way we are. Our wife will do something, or a husband will do something wife don't like. She said, okay, because you asked me, I'm going to forgive you, but don't you mess up again. Well, he don't for 7 years. And in 7 years, he does something, and one day she said, that's it. I told you 7 years ago, if you messed up like that again, it's over. I want a divorce. Did she forgive him? No, not at all. He went out and spent some money that she didn't know about, bought something he didn't really need. You know, so she didn't like that, so she told him, don't you do that no more. Well, he don't for 7 years, and then he got buy something he just can't live without. And when he comes home with this, she said, you didn't ask me if you could buy that. I mean, is that the way we live? Too many people live like that. But now then, seven times? You mean seven times? I got to forgive you seven times? Well, let's see what Jesus said. Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee seven times, but seven times seven. 70 times seven. 490 times. I really think, A.A., what he's trying to say is that you got to forgive that girl an infinite number of times, and you got to forgive that guy an infinite number of times. Don't you think that's what he's trying to say? That's exactly what he's trying to say. And because now then he's going to tell us why it's so important that you forgive somebody this number of times. Now, if you don't know these principles, I don't know a human being alive that'll forgive somebody 490 times in one day if they do the same thing against you. Do you?
Pretty hard.
Pretty hard. In other words, you're a human being just like all the rest of us. You know. But here is why it's important. It's not that the other person is going to be hurt. You're going to be the one that's going to suffer the consequence, and not only you. Let's look and see. Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but 70 times seven, verse 23 and 24. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is likened a certain king which would take accounts with his servants. Now, the kingdom of heaven, where is the kingdom of heaven today? In us, that's right. The kingdom of heaven is in you and I. So right here, if you're looking at yourself, you're looking at me, you're looking at the kingdom of heaven. When I look at you, Jesus is in you, isn't he, Brett? Yeah, Jesus is right there. I look over here at this man, Jesus is in him. I look at this woman, Jesus, the kingdom of heaven is right here. So here we are, the kingdom of heaven. He said, and when he had begun to reckon, one of his servants was brought to him, which owed him 10,000 talents. Now, that doesn't sound like much. In today's world, $10,000 is nothing. I mean, you can't hardly do nothing with $10,000 anymore. You can do a few things. You know, if you're lucky, you can get a cup of coffee and a couple of pies or something. But, you know, but you can't buy much with $10,000. It don't go very far. But when you relate that to that day's time, that's worth about $3.8 billion. Now, that's a little more money. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought to him which owed him 10,000 talents. So that's $3.8 billion. Okay, then it's verse 25 and 26. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children, and all that he had in payment to be made. Now, first of all, here is a very important statement. If you're living in unforgiveness, this is an example. He's talking about unforgiveness. These two things are paralleled here. But this man that owed this huge debt, the 10,000 talents, since he couldn't pay, then he says he's going to be sold. His Lord, the Lord himself, commanded him to be sold and his wife and his children and all of his assets. Now, see, when I got a hold of this, when I got a hold of how this works, when these next few verses, I've seen a man or men that come to me and they were very successful businessmen. I mean, they had companies, they had money, they had trucks, they had cars, they had airplanes, you name it, they had it. And then all of a sudden, their wife got into an unforgiveness towards somebody.
We're going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, Leave a Jesus Trail, in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.